Revelation chapter number 20. Revelation chapter number 20. Friends, if it wasn't for the 20th chapter of Revelation, do you realize how much we would not know about end time prophecy? This is the key chapter to the end time events and their timing. It startles me how much God put and showed John in one chapter that fills in what we wouldn't have understood in Isaiah, Zechariah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. This is the revelation. It's not a hidden mystery. It's the unveiling. And the book of Revelation means the unveiling. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him a millennium. The word millennium is not in your King James Version, but the word millennium is 1,000 years, and it's found six times in Revelation chapter number 20. So we're dealing with a millennium, a 1,000 year period today. So here's the first mention of millennium in your Bible. We would not know the length of the kingdom of Christ on earth if we didn't have the 20th chapter of Revelation. We would not understand where the devil would be while Christ reigned in person if we didn't have the 20th chapter of Revelation. If we didn't have the 20th chapter of Revelation, we would not understand the difference between the wicked dead resurrection and the righteous dead resurrection, because it'll be at least 1,000 years apart, and I can prove a little more. So at least 1,000 years. Then I would not understand fully the saints' role in the millennial reign. I would not understand how natural families that reproduce children, what they would be in God's eternity, how they would be tempted or tested or have a right to choose. The gospel is still whosoever will. I would not understand that. Another thing I would not understand is the great white throne judgment. Very little is revealed in the scripture about event as great as the white throne judgment. Jesus talks about judgment. Bible talks about we'll all appear. Bible talks about we'll give account. But now I understand the great white throne judgment. So in this 20th chapter, we've got a lesson full. But we're going to try to stick with the millennial reign and what brings it about. Here it is. Cast him into a bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should not deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years. There's another millennial word, millennium. 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them which were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark, upon their foreheads and in their hands. And they were alive and will reign with him 1,000 years. There's another mystery revealed in this 20th chapter. Saints that are killed, that are not, does not go in the rapture, are going to be resurrected before this event ever takes place. So that gives us another shouting ground. Verse number 5, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. And there is a big subject to be taught on the first resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 lets us know it began with the resurrection of Christ. Christ the first fruits, and afterward them that are his. We'll try to touch on that a little while. But the first resurrection began when God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and he was the first fruits of the first resurrection. Read it with me now. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years or the millennium are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to the battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. So we're going to talk about this morning the millennial reign, 1,000 year period that follows the battle of Armageddon. Armageddon will be the battle that grinds to powder Gentile supremacy. Kingdoms of this earth will submit to the rulership of Christ. Isaiah prophesied of that day and said, in that day the Lord alone shall be exalted. The rulership of the earth shall be given to his son. And Jesus Christ will reign King of kings and Lord of lords, and will be literally, visibly present at Jerusalem in a glorified body with his saints. Hallelujah. What a glorious victory it is. Now, who will be in the millennial kingdom? That's the first question. Number one, who will inhabit this kingdom? Well, first of all, Christ himself will be king. Hallelujah. So Jesus will be here literally in his glorified body. You talk about wonderful. The devil will not be here. That's shouting ground. No devil to molest. No devil to torment. Then it thrills me when the devil is gone, God Almighty is going to relieve the earth of its curse that came by the fall of man, and the restitution of all things will be fulfilled, and the curse is gone, and the sandbur loses its sticker and looks like a poppy. Hallelujah. And the desert shall blossom like a rose, and the ferocious spirit of the lion and the bear and the adder, and God will defang the rattlesnake, and a child can lead the ferocious beast, and it's going to be a kingdom that will be inhabited with glorified saints that have come from the marriage supper of the Lamb to live and reign and rule with Christ on earth in glorified bodies that will never know suffering or pain, that cannot be killed or will not die, that will not be hurt by the second death, but we're going to reign with our Lord in visible glorified bodies. Hallelujah. Then there's going to be another bunch get there. This is shouting ground. I know I'm going to have to cover a lot of territory in a hurry, but there's going to be another group that's going to inhabit eternity. The man of sin is going to try to set up a world government, but he cannot make it worldwide. There's going to be a remnant of God's people that will not take the mark of the beast and will not submit to him, and are going to believe and pray and trust in Jesus Christ during the tribulation period, and a remnant of the nations will be saved. God is going to have, I thrill about this. Now, this is something we never preached about much a few years ago. You know, there's folks that come to your door with a little magazine, and they say there'll only be 144,000 in heaven, and they think those seats are nearly all taken. And they call it the Watchtower, Jehovah's Witness. They got it mixed up. They're the devil's testimony. Would you say amen? That's not Jehovah's Witness. We're witnesses of a glorious King of kings and Lord of lords, and it's not 144,000 just because they were found in Revelation 14 that followed the Lamb on Mount Zion. They're going to be preachers that are going to witness to God's power during the tribulation period. You say, Brother Branko, won't the church be gone? Will the Holy Spirit be gone during the tribulation? 1,000 times no. The Holy Spirit is, well, you say, Brother Branko, what is meant in 2 Thessalonians? He who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the brightness of his coming. You say, Brother Branko, that can't be the church. The church is she. No. Now we better back up. She is neither male or female. It's neither masculine or feminine. When he refers to a bride and the household of God, he calls her feminine. When he refers to his army, which comes with him, it's always masculine. Say amen. Read it. The church is both referred to in the feminine as a bride and the masculine as terrible as an army with banners going forth in the name of the Lord. That makes a shout, doesn't it? So I'm convinced it's the blood-washed church. We're the salt of the earth. We are the city God set on a hill. We are God Almighty's redemptive purchase prize. Hallelujah. So there will be a remnant of nations, remnant of the nations, that shall enter into the millennium. And there will be the judgment of nations, first of all, that will determine who will enter into the millennial reign. Now get your shouting clothes on. May upset you a little, but I want you to follow me. Let's take a little vote. Who would you say is the goat nations? Somebody pick out some goats. How many believe Russia is a goat nation? Let me see your hand. How many believe that Cuba is a goat nation? Well, we got a few believe Cuba's a goat. I think Castro's one. All right. How many believe that America is a sheep nation? Let me see your hand. Okay, America's in as sheep. Russia's in as goats. I don't believe either one. I don't believe America is a sheep nation, as much sin, as wickedness as there is in America. I don't, and what, oh, let's go to another little nation. Let's find some little bitty nation that little nation that's trying to form south of France, what's its name? Cordova or something like that. What would it be? Where would we put it? I'm convinced that those that enter into the millennial kingdom are going to be a remnant of believers that God Almighty is going to allow to inhabit his kingdom, and they're going to be believers in Christ out of the nations, and that's going to be the difference between the sheep and the goat. Well, you say, Brother Branko, are you sure? Let's turn to Matthew 25 and Matthew 13 and we'll prove. I think we can prove it. Share it together. I see some question marks and I like question marks. Amen. Don't swallow any pill till you see if it's not placebo. Matthew chapter 25, let's read it. Here is the judgment of nations and I want to share it with you. We begin reading in verse number 31. And when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. When? When he comes back, the second advent. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats are on the left. Then shall the king say unto them that are on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father. This has to be believers out of these nations, because God doesn't take people to heaven because they live in America, or doesn't send them to hell because they live in Russia or in Japan or in some other nation. It has to be an individual judgment that will be based when nations stand before God to enter into his kingdom. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer and say, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee and thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed in? When saw we thee sick and in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say, as much as you have done it unto the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. And Bible scholars everywhere say it's going to be a judgment on how they've treated Israel. That is partially true. But if God Almighty does not give people position in heaven just because they like Israel, he gives them position in heaven because they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Master. And believers that believe on the Lord are going to be kind to his brethren. You see the difference? I believe there is a link between this. So there will be people in natural bodies living on planet Earth that will come out and through the tribulation period and will be believers on the Lord Jesus Christ that will escape out from under the hand of the man of sin. And I can show you there's going to be some escape, for Edom and Moab shall escape from him. And there's going to be people that will escape out of America, and there'll be people that escape out of the land, no doubt, of nations of the world, and they're going to be allowed because they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and those that did not believe will be cast into hell. That's the only interpretation we can find. Let me read it a little further. And for then shall he say, let's read verse 41. It settles it forever. Then shall he say unto them that are on his left hand, that's the goats, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You didn't take care of my brother, and I was a hungered. You gave me no meat, and thirsty. You gave me no drink. He's going to say to them on the right, so there's going to be a remnant of people of the nations of the world that will not receive the mark or the name or the number, that will escape from the Antichrist and will be allowed to live in natural bodies on earth in the millennial reign of Christ. Isn't that a thriller? And there's going to be a population on earth during the millennial reign that's going to be made up. Let's get who's going to live here. Number one, the devil can't live here. Glory, that's shouting ground. Jesus will be here. He will come with his holy angels and will set up a judgment of nations, and a remnant of the nations that believe on the Lord out of the nations will be called sheep nations, and them that are on his right hand, he's going to allow them to enter into his kingdom. Them that do not believe shall be accursed and will not enter into the kingdom of our Lord. So let's put down some ground rules now for the millennial kingdom. Number one, the devil will be bound. Whew. I saw an angel come down from heaven with a key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the old dragon, the serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him with a chain. I hope he puts a slip knot in it. Hallelujah. Say amen. And he bound him with a chain, and he laid hold on him and cast him into a bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him that he should not deceive the nations, for he's going to be in prison 1,000 years, and we're going to have camp meeting jubilee right here on this earth. So Satan won't be here. He'll be in the bottomless pit. This event will happen between the second advent, or the coming back with his saints, and the glorious eternal kingdom, the revelation of the new Jerusalem. Say amen. You say, Brother Brankle, when will this happen? If the man of sin was revealed today, he's not, he can't be, till we get out of the way. We're the light of the world. And he's going to have, I don't think you need to worry about looking for him. We may have a lot of forerunners, and somebody's found one. Every few days they find a new one. But I can tell you now, we're not looking as a church for a man of sin. We're looking for a King of glory to summons a church out of this world. So you could quit looking for a man of sin and trying to find his number. Woo! Get your eyes on the sky. We're looking for the Prince, hallelujah, peace, who's coming in clouds of glory. Then the man of sin will be revealed, and he'll sign a covenant with Israel for 7 years. If he was to sign that covenant in 1980, then get your shouting clothes on by 1988. And I said, if I'm not setting dates, I'm number one that's not date setter. But if he signed that covenant in 1980, by the end of 1977, 1988, we would be in glorified bodies, glory to God and the Lamb forever, in the kingdom of my Lord, in the millennium, and we'd have a camp meeting jubilee. See, we know the dates then. Number three, the reign is not a spiritual reign, it's a literal reign. It is a literal reign on this earth. I know immediately the question that comes in your mind, if natural bodies live in the millennial kingdom, will natural bodies live throughout eternity in natural bodies? I don't believe it. I believe he's going to give every believer a new body. We're going to shed off this vile body. I believe at the end of the millennial reign, the earth and the works therein shall be burned up. And when we stand in the presence of God the Father, flesh and blood cannot inherit his kingdom, and no man can see his face and live. You're going to have a brand new body like unto the glorified saints, and he's going to give the saints that overcome out of the millennial reign that stand the last testing of Satan that are in natural bodies a brand new body, and we're going to live in eternity with glorified bodies shouting glory all the way through. Say amen. I heard someone say the other day that Enoch is in heaven without a glorified body. I don't believe it. I believe by the time he got through the ozone and the Milky Way, hallelujah, I believe before he got 100 feet off of the ground, he's in a brand new body because he appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration, and I don't think he had Levi's on. Shout now. I believe Elijah had a glorified body. I'm convinced they're not there in natural bodies, for no man can see my God and live. And if we are sinned and descend, we're going to have glorified bodies that are more than earthly bodies. Shout glory. We'll hurry with it. Let me give you number four in the what's going to be like in the millennial kingdom. There will be a theocratic government. Jesus Christ will be King of kings and Lord of lords, and he's going to rule and reign visibly with his saints. Number five, Christ will be the sole ruler. He'll put down rebellion. He will fulfill the full covenant. And if I have time, I want to read some scripture on this. He will fulfill the full covenant with Abraham, and the fullness of the Abrahamic covenant will come into full completion because he will restore all in one, and Jerusalem will be the capital of the world, and Israel will reign as 12 tribes again in the kingdom, and the holy apostles will rule over the 12 tribes as their leader and their governor. Like the way you're shouting. I'm going to go a little further. Like the way you're looking. Christ will be the King of kings over the whole earth. But now let me give you something that's in the book. David himself will be king again over all Israel. Well, let's read it. Let's just spend a little time. I see question marks again. I like to see them. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter number 30. We'll spend a few moments here. David, isn't that going to be something? I've been in Israel. Don Martin just came back, and the Jews there are burning candles, and they're putting crowns over David's tomb. Have you been there and seen those crowns? Isn't that going to be something one of these mornings? While they're putting up one of those crowns, he's going to kick the lid off of that tomb and come out. That thrills me. That's the blessed hope we have. Jeremiah chapter 30, read verse 9. But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Isn't that a thriller? David is going to rule as king, and the 12 apostles, Jesus said, would rule the 12 tribes of Israel. We'll give you that scripture in just a moment. Let's look at Ezekiel 34, 24, while we're on this subject of David. Someone said, Brother Brankle, do you actually believe that David himself? I believe David himself. I thought that meant Christ. Well, Christ, Jesus Christ, will sit upon the throne of David, his promise, but David himself has a position in the kingdom. Chapter 34, verse number 24 of Ezekiel, we'll read it together. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Hallelujah. Let's read verse 23. And I'll set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Ezekiel 37, while we're still here. Chapter number 37, verse number 24. And David, my servant, is that plain enough? That has to be him. David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd, and they also shall walk in my judgment and serve my statutes and to do them. That's why they're there at the throne of David. They're waiting for the return of that David again. For God Almighty said, I'll establish thy throne forever when he put David on the throne. It looked like it was going to fail, but God's got an everlasting position for David in his kingdom. Hosea confirms the same thing. Hosea chapter 3. Let's turn over there. I don't like to take too much time in reading, but sometimes I have a lot of questions after I teach on this. So I want to read it. Hosea chapter 3, verse number 4 and 5. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without a teraphim. And afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. Hallelujah. And shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. I want you to notice this. Did you notice the reading of this verse? Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. While we're having camp meeting here, they're burning candles and chanting the scripture and reading the Psalms and the promises of the rulership of David and the restoration of the land and the day when David himself will be king again in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And this book said they'll be without a king, they'll be without a prince, they'll be without a sacrifice many days, but then in the latter time, they'll seek after David their king, and one of these days, gloriously, I want to shout it, in a millennial kingdom, God Almighty is going to let the shepherd boy come back and rule in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Makes me want to shout. Now the 12 apostles will rule with him. You say, Brother Brankle, is that scripture? Let's look at Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. I think it's scriptural. Matthew 19, 28. I want to spend a little time when you make these statements. There needs to be something to back it up. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye that which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. There's going to be a place for the 12 apostles to have a part in the rulership of the 12 tribes of Israel. And God said, I'll make you give you what? He'll cause you to rule with a rod of iron. So they're going to rule pretty sternly. Luke 22 verse number 30 says the same thing. Number 8, if you were keeping notes, all saints will be assigned to jobs of leadership, rulership, and priesthoods. Hallelujah. Woo, did you know it could be possible that... You said, Brother Brankle, do you believe it? It's literal. It's a kingdom. And we're going to reign kings and priests. Revelation chapter 20, I just read it. 20 and 4. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign. Did you hear it? Reign with him 1,000 years. Folks, you just barely got on the inside of your salvation. Did you know when you got the Holy Ghost and had the best camp meeting spell you ever had, you just barely got a taste of it? This is the earnest, the down payment. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just wait till we get it, wait till we get the fullness. For he said, in the ages to come, he's going to show the exceeding greatness of his power to usward. Hallelujah. Say amen. Brother, come and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You say, well, Brother Brankle, do you think that the millennial kingdom is the kingdom of God? Yes, it's part of it, but we've already got some of it in us. Hallelujah. The kingdom is within you. Cometh not by observation, but it's on the inside. Then we're going to step into the kingdom with our Lord. It's the millennial reign, and he calls that a kingdom. But there's another kingdom. There's a day coming when we're going to step into the eternal kingdom, and God Almighty will be all in all, and it's an everlasting kingdom, and its dominion and reign knows no end. Hallelujah. Say amen. Makes you want to shout. So if you want to know where the kingdom of God is, it's in the blood-washed saints now. It's going to be visible in the millennium and limited to years, but it's going to be eternal with God in the new heavens and the new earth. Whew. Isn't it going to be wonderful? You talk about something. Something. It just thrills me. When I get talking about millennial blessings and being able to live in glorified bodies, somebody said, Brother Branko, what are you going to look like? I don't know. I think I can look like what I want to. Say amen. I mean, I probably weigh 145 to 75 pounds. Be 6'2" tall and be just like I am. Say amen. Woo, what a day. You see, I don't know exactly. It doth not yet appear, John said, what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, folks, do you know we're something? We've got eternal rendezvous with destiny. Don't let the devil talk you out of your salvation. Hallelujah. Hold to God's unchanging hand. This is a big thing. There'll never be a day when you're not. And we can have glorified bodies and live in eternity and walk with the King of glory and have eternal position. I believe that God's got things planned for eternity, that we're going to reign and rule. I don't think we're going to sit by the crystal sea and twiddle our thumbs. Amen. I'll get tired of having my toes in the river in a few days. I want something to do. Say amen. And I think that glorified saints are going to teach, and we're going to preach, and we're going to hold revivals, and we're going to have a time of our lives, and we're going to rule, and we're going to be able to travel. I won't need an airplane. There'll be airplanes flying for natural bodies, but we saints have got a supernatural built-in one, because we're going to have a body like his, and he stepped through stone walls. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If I want to visit this campground, come on in, step in, say glory to God, I'm here. Amen. If I want to hold a meeting at Mars, if there's people up there, I'm not sure there's up there. I get tickled if folks say, Brother Brankle, what if there's people in outer space? What will that do your faith? That won't disturb me a bit. I know there's people out there. You say, Brother Brankle, you believe there's beings in outer space? Brother, the heavens is full of them. He said, the chariots of God are 20,000. He's got 20,000 supernatural chariots that cross the Milky Way. Hallelujah. And Elijah went to heaven in a chariot of fire and a whirlwind. And the chariots of God are 20,000. And he said, the saints were coming back in Revelation on horses. Hallelujah. I just don't think I can see them. And Elijah's servant, when his eyes were open, saw a mountain full of an army. And they, amen. Folks, this is a lot bigger than what we think it is. I'm not sure about Mr. Buck's angel business. I never have got much into that. I'm not sure whether those dogs saw angels or not. I'm not too sure about what Mr. Buck saw, but whether Mr. Buck saw angels or didn't see angels, I know there are ministering spirits that God's got on a permanent assignment to minister to the saints. Hallelujah. And the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him to deliver him. And we've got an eternal appointment to be kings and priests with God in glorified bodies that will have angelic travel. Hallelujah. And then we sit around in church and worry over who's going to be WM leader. dummy. I like the way you're looking at me now. Brother, this is too big for a little bit of fuss session down here. Get your sights on things on higher ground. My time's going to get away from them. We're not going to get in the kingdom. All right. We're gonna live in natural body. People will live in natural bodies. I hope I'm not in it. I'm not planning on it. Can you imagine living in natural bodies? You say, Brother Brankle, how long will they live? It's possible to live clear through it if you're righteous. Won't that be something for some folks about the 900th year of the millennial reign? Tell their grandkids, I really came through something called tribulation, and we had a battle, and those kids have never even seen a devil. Brother, it's going to be some stories to tell, isn't it? Woo, we run for our lives. We ate blackberries, amen, and drank sassafras tea. We like to not measure, hallelujah, but we believed on the Lord, and we escaped the tribulation and didn't take the mark, and we're here, hallelujah. Isn't that going to be something? But a child shall be called a child at 100, and God said a sinner will be accursed at 100. And the death penalty will be restored, and people that sin and won't repent and won't obey are going to have judgment. That's what the book said. Will be accursed. So we got to get down to it. Spend a lot of time. Number 9, if you're putting it on your paper, Jerusalem will again be not the capital of Jerusalem, but the capital of the world. And all nations will come to Jerusalem to worship my Lord, for he will build a Messiah temple, and Jesus Christ will be in a temple in Jerusalem, the Messiah temple, and will come yearly and worship him. Hallelujah. And those that don't come, it won't rain on their peanuts. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Woo, the curse is going to be lifted. It's possible to make 14 bales of cotton to the acre, I think. I said, I think. You see, we're going to live in the most idealistic climate. You said, Brother Brankle, what's the climate going to be like? I think it's going to be just what you like. I think it's going to be a day like it's never been. The Bible said the sun's going to be brighter, but it won't be hotter. The moon's going to be like the sun. We're going to live in an ideal climate. In fact, to the business, watermelons will grow just as good at night as they do in the daytime. That's what the book says. sun will be as bright as the moon will be as bright as the sun. Have you ever thought about? And the desert place shall blossom as a rose, and the marshy places will be restored. We're going to turn and read that if I can get to it in a little while, because I want to shout when I get down there. But you get to thinking about living in that, and you say, Brother Brankle, how many will go into the millennium? I don't know. That's like asking how many is going to be in the rapture. Looks like in some churches it's getting to be less and less. Amen. Like the way you're shouting now. Some of you are agreeing with me. Amen. You see, I don't know, but believers that believe on him that come out of the nations will be allowed to go into the millennial kingdom and live in natural bodies. And the last few hundred years, population will explode beyond what I can comprehend. Do you realize that folks are still called a child at 100? There's no telling how many children they'll have. If you have to be 100 to be old enough to get married, and you live 900 years, and you have children every 3 years, that's possible to have 250 youngins. And you won't have to worry about feeding them, because it's going to be an ideal situation. There's going to be fruit and pleasant things to eat. God Almighty will turn gourds into bananas. You say, preacher, you're getting preposterous. Oh, it's going to be an ideal. They'll not hurt nor destroy in all of my holy mountain. Isn't that what he said? And the curse will be lifted. It's no telling what this whole creation groaneth and travaileth to be delivered, Paul said. The whole thing's under a curse. It's going to be an ideal climate, an ideal situation. And population will reach an all-time high. Do you realize at the time that John wrote, if I don't watch, I'll take so many bypasses, I won't be able to get where I'm going. But do you realize at the time that John wrote the revelation and received the revelation of an army of 200 million people coming across the Euphrates River in for the battle, that there wasn't that many people on planet Earth? It sounded like he was completely off of his rocker. I read the other day where it's estimated at the time of Christ there was 190 million people, the best that demographers can decipher, that will be present in that day. And do you realize that it took until the year of 1850 for us to reach 1 billion people, 1930 to reach 2 billion people, 1962, 3 billion people, 1970 some 4 billion people. And if Jesus doesn't come by the year of 2000, there will be over 8 billion with cancer, with leukemia, with heart attacks, with automobile accidents. And the number one killer of teenagers now is not automobiles, motorcycles, it's suicide. Number one killer of teenagers. Can you imagine in an affluent world? That lets you know that the music doesn't satisfy them. This devil beat rock and roll junk that's defiling their minds and wrecking their souls. And you parents, if you've got any rock and roll records in your house, burn them now. Go home and burn them now. You say, well, it'll upset little Robert and little Nancy. Upset her. You'd better upset them than send their soul to hell with that kind of junk. So you realize that in this hour with the curse, when life expectancy is this short, that population is increasing this fast. Do you realize in the latter part of the millennial reign that this earth will be inhabited with almost unbelievable population? If in last 130 years we have increased in the earth 3 times as many people as there was. 3 billion more people have been added to the earth's population. One demographer put it in the other day that if the earth lasted just 700 years, there would be 916 trillion people on this earth in 700 years. One said the other day, that within the lifespan of a man, 60 years, there would be a billion people added every 42 months. Did you hear me? 1 billion people. 1 billion. This is one of the reasons I'm convinced we're in the last days, because this earth would be starving to death with situation like it is right now. More streams are being polluted, more trouble in the land, more difficulty, more unrest in the atmosphere. Folks, we must be in the last generation. So I wanted to just say this so I could compare with you what's going to be like in the millennium. It will be the ideal situation with the longevity of life and the renewed life. There's going to be teeming millions and billions on planet Earth by the end of the 1,000-year reign. World capital will be in Jerusalem. The judgment of nations will determine who will enter in. Crime will not be a threat, for God Almighty will deal with it very sternly. If you'd like some scripture on that, Zephaniah 2:13, Isaiah 16:5, Isaiah 11:1 through 5, Zechariah chapter number 14, we can deal on and on. Children will be born during the millennium. This is another. If you're marking your paper, children will be born during the millennium. Natural families. I do not believe that there's any hint that glorified saints will have children throughout eternity. I'm hearing it taught, but I don't believe that. I believe that would discourage my wife from wanting to go. No place in the Bible does that hint it. I hear it taught today, but that's people that are wanting attention. I'm fully convinced this Bible doesn't teach that. Children will be born of natural families. And just because they're born of natural families doesn't make them Christians. Do you know what makes Christian? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same term will be present during the millennium. And the same blood will avail in the millennium. Hallelujah. Only they've got all the advantages in the world, because the devil will be bound and Christ will be visible. Hallelujah. But can you imagine? Children will be born and sin will be possible even though the devil's bound. Do you need a scripture on that? Let's turn to Isaiah 65:21. I think we ought to spend a little time. I don't want to spend too much time. I'd like to cover my subject, and time is running swiftly. Begin reading in the millennial scriptures, Isaiah 65:18. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and will joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more, and in her nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, just a minute, did you hear that word? There'll be sinners in the millennium. Sin will still be possible, but it'll be the most ideal time. Sinners being 100 years old shall be accursed. Let's read a little more about what's going to happen. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people. I've been told the other day that there are olive trees that are alive today that could have been alive in the time of Christ. I don't know who stayed to watch them, but they could have been. Mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I'll answer, and while they're yet speaking, I will hear. Glory, glory, glory. and the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Hallelujah. Sin will be possible. Wild animal nature will be changed. We just read it. It will be a world of joy as the waters cover the sea. The glory of the Lord shall cover the earth. I want to talk to you about one of the mysteries of the Bible now. We're going to live in a literal millennial reign with Christ on earth. But the mystery of all mysteries to me. Now I told you there'll be billions of people at the close of the millennial reign. I don't think the earth's population now is where it will be if I were giving you a judgment on what it will be at the end of the millennial reign. I think there'll be few that enter it, but it'll be the ideal time, and there's no telling how big the population will be. But here's a mystery to me, and my time is up, but I'll hurry. The mystery of all of it is that at the close of the 1,000 years of reign, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and will go out and deceive nations, because God doesn't take anybody to heaven against their will. Every man, if any man will come after me, nobody's saved against their will. Salvation begins when a man wills to be saved. You start from that seat to this altar, and it's already begun to happen. Say amen. Hallelujah. Will to be saved. And the least little person in West Florida can raise your hand and say, God, I don't want you, and he won't come. But the devil is going to try them that are born on this earth. And what is the mystery of all mysteries? In the most ideal situation, in the most beautiful kingdom that's ever been, in the most beautiful earth that we've ever dreamed of, with Jesus Christ visible in person, the devil will be able to get a large group that'll follow him. It must be because there's going to be some people that are going to raise up and say, is he the only one that can rule? The trouble has always been over who's going to rule. And no doubt there will be young people that were born, and young men that will raise up and say, like they did to Moses, are you the only one that can rule? And they will try to usurp authority, and the devil will start a war called the Second War of Gog and Magog. And that is not the war that when Russia invades, but there'll be another war, and you'll head it up under that old rebellion, and will come decide, I've got me a huge army. I've got me tens of thousands. Isn't the devil stupid? Been in jail 1,000 years. That ought to have been enough to teach him a lesson. But folks don't learn in jail. You can put them in jail for rape, or prison and for rape, and turn them loose, and they'll get right back and defile some little girl. Shut them up for holding up a bank and keep them in. You'd think they'd learn. Turn them loose and they'll hold up another bank. You see, people don't learn, and the devil is stupid. Been in prison for 1,000 years. I thought by now he'd know that Christ was the king when he sent that angel with a log chain and tied it around his neck and headed him for the pit. He ought to learn better, but he didn't learn better. He ought to learn better a long time ago, but he didn't learn. When he was kicked out of heaven and Michael grabbed him by the back of the neck and flung him across the Milky Way, and he barely missed one of those planets. Amen. He ought to have learned better then, but he didn't learn. He just doesn't learn. And the devil's going to come back and come get him an army, and he's going to say, I'll tell you what, let's do. Jesus is down here on earth. Let's surround Jerusalem. Let's conquer the temple. Let's get back in power. And when he does, God says, that's enough. And fire comes down from God out of heaven and burns up that army, and they're cast into the lake of fire. And Mr. Devil is grabbed up, and he gets his final and last fling, and God cast him into the lake of fire that burns burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second, and he's going to cast him in where the beast and the false prophet are and be tormented day and night. And about that time, he's going to set up the great white throne judgment. And this earth is going to be burned with fire, and the works therein shall be burned up, this Bible said. Because God doesn't want to trace that our footprint the devil left on earth. And he's going to renew and have a renovation, and we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth was passed away. Glory to God. Shout glory. And then I saw a new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. Woo, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. Can I turn and read it? Let's just talk about it. Glory, glory, glory. Let me turn to Revelation 21. We've all been there, but I think we ought to have a camp meeting spell when we realize that it's all over. Revelation 20, the white throne judgment has been set. The wicked dead have been judged. The sea gave up its dead, its bodies, and death gave up, the grave gave up its bodies, hell delivered up its bodies. God's going to give every man his fair day in court. I wish I could preach on that. You're looking at a preacher that believes there'll be tears in heaven. There'll be tears, no doubt, at the judgment seat of Christ. When we look back and see how foolish and carnal we've lived, we're going to hate ourselves. At the great white throne judgment, there'll be tears. I'm convinced that the saints will help him judge at the white throne judgment. He said the Queen of Sheba will rise up and condemn this generation. The men of Nineveh, they repented of the preacher than Jonah, and are greater than Jonah's here. And it's going to be a tragic day when moms and dads that have been dilatory about church and made play and ball games more important than prayer meeting, and God Almighty asks you, what did you do to train your children and teach them when they're lost and without God, and he calls on you to testify. I believe at the great white throne judgment, there'll be saints in absolute remorse and in crying, and there'll be tears like there's never been. When we see those, and we have to testify to our best friends and our loved ones and our family. You say, Brother Brankle, do you believe it? Daniel chapter 7 said 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and thousands times thousands ministered unto him. We're going to help in judgment. Paul said, don't you know that saints will judge angels? It lets me know that somewhere God Almighty's got some saints that are going to sit on a panel that'll determine the destiny of fallen angels. I believe saints will be in judgment, but it's going to be a sad day. And then after that, he said he would wipe all tears from their eyes. Say amen. And if that wasn't in there, we couldn't enjoy knowing our children were in hell. But he's going to wipe. Well, let's read about it. Revelation chapter 21. Oh, glory. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and shall be their God, and God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. Did you hear it? And God himself, God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there'll be no more death, neither sorrow, neither crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Folks, if I want to go to heaven for one thing, I'd like to get out of a world that knows pain. No more pain. Glory makes me want to shout. Neither crying, nor neither will there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give to him that's athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my people. Hallelujah. Did you hear that? Inherit all things. These boys that are going around now and say all you got to do is claim it and just dream about it and vision it in your mind and you'll have a new Rolls Royce move in and you'll be president of the bank, I don't believe that baloney. But I do believe there's a day coming when we'll have everything on earth our hearts desired. Because we're going to inherit all things. 2 minutes. I've got two daughters, and we travel with them on the field. And if you're an evangelist and you've got a dog, sell it now. or give it away, don't travel with a hound dog. Say amen. I got a little old Pekingese because I didn't want my daughters left out. And he was a registered one, white as snow, black mask and black eyes, and looked like he ran into a brick wall and lost his nose. He was the cutest little thing you've ever seen, hair that dragged on both sides. He was just a fluffy little ball of fur, and they loved him dearly, and we called him Tex because we got him in Abilene, Texas. He was the most beautiful little thing, and one day those two little brown-eyed, blonde-headed girls came in the house with their eyes open and said, "Daddy, can Tex go to heaven with us?"